This episode contains graphic details of murder and other crimes. Listener discretion is advised. Everyone, and welcome back to Not Always Polite. I hope you guys have had a great week so far. I'm an idiot, and the dishwasher is currently running, but I want to do this before I literally fall asleep. So if you hear any background noise, I'm sure y'all are fucking expect it from me at this point because I'm literally always a mess. But if you hear the dishwasher, the dogs, fucking anything, I'm sorry. This is not a professional show. If you are still listening to me after 2 years of this podcast and you are expecting a professional show, that's on you, not me. Oh, shit. I'm in a mood today. Now Denver's drinking. Oh, my God, you guys. Please hold. As I was saying, today I have, once again, an unsolved murder for you guys. This is the murder of Sonia Barishin. I hope I pronounced that right. I did look it up. I'm going to go with Barishin. So I'm just going to get on into the case. So it was a typical day for Sonia on Sunday, August 29th, 2010. Sonia was in Bolton, Ontario, having lunch with her parents at their home. Her parents are Michelle, and her dad's name is Attilio. Attilio? I hope I'm pronouncing that right. So her mother, Michelle, later noted that Sonia seemed really happy with how her life was going. As usual, I don't have a ton of background information on Sonia, but she was born to her parents, Attilio and Michelle Barishin, and she had two sisters, Viv and Nadia. According to her family, she was passionate about her work and devoted to the well-being of all the children she cared for. Sonia also had a boyfriend at the time, but I'll get into him a little later, and no, he's not a suspect. So, on August 30th, 2010, 42-year-old Sonia was reported missing by her family after she didn't show up for work. Sonia previously worked as a pediatric nurse, and she just started a new job at a pharmaceutical company. Meanwhile, a white Toyota Corolla was found abandoned near the Orangeville Town Hall on Broadway behind a business. The Toyota was found with blood smeared on the bumper. The ownership inside the vehicle led the police to the home of Sonia. There were no signs of forced entry to her home, but there was blood found both on the outside and inside, but Sonia was nowhere to be found. According to her neighbor, Cindy Downey, she had her windows open but didn't hear anything unusual. On September 3rd, the police issued a statement saying they were looking for, quote, two pieces of blood-soaked bedding and information about bloody clothing and shoes in the disappearance of an Orangeville nurse, Sonia Barishin, who they believe is the victim of foul play. In the same statement, they revealed, quote, it certainly appears that the culprit left the house in Sonia's car and then returned to downtown Orangeville with the car. They added that they felt the person of interest would have knowledge of the area. Police also said they were looking for one individual who acted alone and is someone who knows or is familiar with Sonia, but she may not necessarily know them. For six long and hard days, a small army of police and volunteers scoured the area looking for Sonia. On September 5th, everyone's worst fears were confirmed when a woman's remains were discovered by a dog walker in a wooded area just off Beechgrove Side Road, southeast of Orangeville, which is about 12 kilometers from the crime scene. 2 days later, officials confirmed that it was the body of Sonia Barishin. The Ontario Provincial Police ruled Sonia's death a homicide, but did not offer any additional details about how she died. They kept that information confidential to preserve the investigation. However, they urged residents of Orangeville and Caledon areas to come forward with any tips that might lead to an arrest. A $2,000 reward was put forward, and the police said, quote, we believe someone in the community holds the key to solving this homicide. The police also announced they believed Sonia's killer wore a specific brand of work boots in men's size 10 or 11. The boots were made by either Wind River or Dakota, and those brands are exclusively sold at Mark's Work Warehouse. Little fun fact, side note, my dog Denver is named Denver because my ex and I at the time worked together at Mark's, and one of the brands there is Denver Hayes. So shout out Denver. Love ya. Anyhow, a press conference was held on September 8th, and the police displayed several pairs of boots with the distinctive tread pattern that was facing outward. As the weeks and months passed, police continued to investigate, but there didn't really seem to be much movement in the case. They interviewed people close to Sonia, including her boyfriend, Ian, who was a married man. Sonia had been seeing him on and off for the past year, but he was cleared as a suspect. Every lead seemed to be a dead end. There were several other attacks on women in the area in the months after Sonia's death. On October 6th, Adrian Roberts, a 33-year-old paramedic from Guelph, was found murdered in the basement of her home. On December 8th, Shelley Loader, a 44-year-old photographer, was brutally attacked in her home. Sorry, not in her home. She was brutally attacked in her studio in Mono, just miles away from Orangeville. Shelley managed to survive her attack and was able to give the police a description of her assailant. Three women of similar ages and life circumstances all attacked within a 30-mile radius just months apart. But as time passed, investigators couldn't find anything that would link the cases together. Adrian's husband was later convicted of her murder, and Shelley's attacker was never caught. Okay, Criminal Minds fans. Okay, I love Criminal Minds. I don't know about you guys. If you do, you're going to love this next part. So, in December of 2010, investigators in Sonia's case announced that they had partnered with the FBI's Behavioral Analysis Unit to develop a criminal profile of the person they believed killed her. According to Detective Pritchard, Sonia's killer was a man not just familiar with the town of Orangeville, but also the rural roads where Sonia's body was later found. He would have displayed altered behavior after killing Sonia, possibly drinking more heavily than usual or missing work for extended periods of time. He may have tried to isolate himself and acted angry or irritated with others. Detective Pritchard also suggested that the killer may have moved out of his house in the first weeks of September. Quote, someone familiar with the killer may recognize these traits, and we are appealing to that individual or these people to come forward and call the police immediately. I don't know why they think that he moved out of his house, but that is what the behavioral analysis unit says, and I think that's very interesting. So in early 2011, Detective Andy Karski took over as lead investigator on Sonia's case and began re-interviewing people who knew her or may have interacted with her. The detective came to find out that Sonia had been involved in some conflict at the health center where she worked. A few months before her death, Sonia had been confronted by a supervisor after she had changed the dosage of a patient's medication without authorization. Sonia had told her mother about the confrontation, and it had created an unbearable tension between the coworkers. She eventually left the health center and had accepted a new job at the pharmaceutical company. The detectives explored this avenue, but Sonia had left the job on her own terms, and there didn't seem to be hard feelings on either side. Another avenue the detective explored was her digital footprint. Investigators had Sonia's computer, and they discovered she'd been communicating with several men on the dating site Plenty of Fish. This is definitely a potential lead. Meeting men online that you don't know is dangerous, and has definitely resulted in many women losing their life. On May 24th, 2011, investigators made a big move. The Ontario Provincial Police asked members of the public to voluntarily submit DNA samples. Over the next 15 months, they collected 600 samples. On the three-year anniversary of Sonia's death, police announced a $50,000 reward. Reading numbers is hard. A $50,000 reward for any information leading to the arrest of Sonia's killer. On the four-year anniversary, they released a grainy surveillance video, which showed two people in a park gazebo near where Sonia's car was abandoned. The individuals were later found and ruled out as suspects. 5 years into the investigation, there was a new team of detectives on the case, but still very little movement. 7 years in, Detective Glassford said that he'd hoped new DNA technology could help them move forward with identifying a suspect. After 8 years, he said that they were closer than ever to solving the case. But after 9 long years, Detective Glassford insisted the case was not cold. In the 12 years since Sonia was taken from her family, they've tried to move on. Her parents eventually moved out of their home in Bolton, away from the painful memories left there. Sonia's siblings are raising their own families with children who will never know their aunt. The family doesn't know how Sonia died or who killed her, but the police are keeping that information hidden to prevent weirdos from falsely confessing to something they didn't do, which they see more than you would believe. At this time, the police are still actively seeking information that could help solve this case. If you have any information about the death of Sonia Vereshchin, or you know anyone that would have any information, people are being asked to contact the OPP at 1-888-310-1122, or as usual, Crime Stoppers anonymously, 1-800-222-8477. And that is the case of the unsolved murder of Sonia Vereshchin. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at NotAlwaysPolite and leave me a review wherever you're listening. It helps me out a lot. I will catch you guys next time, and I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. And don't forget to stay safe. Bye, guys.